and amen. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I'm going to continue to share some things with you that I began a few weeks back. But I think it's very important and some things that we need to study and to have good understanding of. Let me read Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read, let's just read down to verse 9 and we'll come back and do a quick review here because it's been a while, but take off. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives." Verse 7 says, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" Now, we're talking about, if you will, things that we need to do to enhance our faith, build our faith. We are identified as people of faith. Amen? Amen. And we know how faith comes, and most of us in this place understands the importance of faith. But there's things that we do to add or to build and make our faith strong, but there's also things we do that can take away or rob us or keep our faith weak. Now, we're living in a time, we're living in the last days, we're living when Jesus could come back, and he's looking for people who are in faith. How many of you are in faith tonight? Because if you're not in faith, then you're in sin. Amen? So, we don't want to be in sin, but he tells us some things here. He tells us, first of all, in verse 1, that there's a cloud of witnesses that have went on before us. Now, when I was here before, we talked about who the cloud of witnesses were. You can go back and read all of verse 12, and you'll see that these are all people of faith who believed God, who trusted God. They didn't get to see God yet. They didn't have the New Testament like you and I have the New Testament. They didn't have a church they could go to two or three times a week and worship God. But yet, they heard from God and they were people of faith. God called them people of faith. Amen. And they're watching us run our race right now. That's why, you know, I said a while ago, some people just need a pat on the back. Well, the Holy Spirit will pat us on the back. Sometimes he'll spank us on the behind. But there's also a grandstand full of people of faith that are watching us as we run our race. Now, they've run their race. They've finished their course, like the Apostle Paul said. And, you know, we don't run just to run the race, but we run to win the race. I said we run to win this race. So we learn what we can do that will enhance us, and we learn what not to do that will hurt us. Amen? Because if we stay strong in the Lord, if we stay full of faith, we stay full of word, we keep our word level up, we can overcome anything. We're going to find out the scripture tells us that with every test, with every trial, we are to look for a way of escape. Do you realize that there's nothing that the devil can do to you that's not common to man? And that with every trial, with every affliction, with everything he throws at you, God has already made a way of escape. So we need to be looking for the escape route. Amen. Every time we get in a place where we're being squeezed, every time we're getting in that place where we're being pressured by the enemy, we need to look for the escape. Amen. So we have a cloud of witnesses that we can go back and look at their life and see the example of how they stood upon the promises of God, how they stood upon the word of God that they had for their time and their day. And every one of them made it into that hall of faith or that hero of faith that we talked about. So it tells us here that five things right here in this verse of Scripture. First of all, we're to lay aside every weight. And then we're to lay aside the sin. We're to run the race with patience. There's five things here. He told us to look to Jesus. And then the fifth thing is he told us in verse 3 to consider Jesus. Now verse 1 says that we're to lay aside every weight. Now I shared with you that the weight here is referring to things that get between you and God. Weights are things that add up on us to drag us down. Weights are anything that can come between us and God. How many of you have had some weights before that you've had to get removed? You cannot run your race effectively if you allow the weights to mount up on you. And then the sin. See, there's a difference between the weight, because the weight may not be a sin. It just may be something that takes you away from God. There's a lot of people in here tonight that allow other things to take them. They're not here because they allow other things to take them away from God. But then it talks about the sin. So there's a difference between the weight and the sin. Now, the sin here, and we know primarily the definition of sin is to miss the mark. But here it's talking about in a moral sense. You know, to have a moral failure. Whatever we become addicted to. You know, if you're a person that has got delivered from something, maybe you got delivered from, maybe when you became a Christian, you got delivered from drinking. Well, the last place you want to go back is into a bar. Amen? You don't want, because, see, wherever the flesh is weak, that's where the devil will always attack. You know where your weak spots are. You know where you're weak in the things of God, because that's where the enemy will attack. If you have trouble with your temper, he'll just have somebody cross your path. It'll claw you. Are you here? And so we have to make sure if your problem is with women, I can assure you he'll cross one across your path. You see, he always attacks us where we're weak. He doesn't attack us where we're strong. So we work on our strengths and we recognize where our weaknesses are so we can make our weaknesses stronger. Are you with me? And when we talk about lay aside here, we're talking about making a decision. It means that you have to make the quality decision that you're going to walk with the Lord and you're going to run your race. And then he says to run it. Look what it says there, to run it with endurance in verse 1. We're still in verse 1 here. I'm just reviewing, bringing you up to where we left off. It says, the race that is set before us. The word endurance means to be cheerfully and to do it in hope and to do it with consistency. Now, Sunday I talked about being consistent, because what you do in on a consistent basis, you develop a habit for. You know, we do get afflicted. We do get knocked down. But, you know, we're like that Timex watch. We keep on ticking, amen? We're like that bunny, that energizer. You know, the devil comes and he tries to do his thing, but we keep on trucking for Jesus, amen? We get knocked down, but we're not knocked out. And we realize that, yeah, The trials and the afflictions are going to come. But what did the book of Psalms tells us? It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered us out of them all. So you and I know that things are going to come at us just because we're running this race. There's going to be opposition come at us, but we've got to stand in faith and we got to offer up resistance against the things that the devil comes to take us out of the race. If you're with me, say amen. So you have to remind yourself of what God said. That's why it's so important that you and I are students of the Word and become Word people, because if we are not reminded of the Word, Satan will make sure we get reminded of the circumstances. There's a lot of Christians, that's all they can see is the circumstances. They can't see the Word because they're not operating, they're not full of the Word. Remember, if your Word level's low, your faith level's going to be low. And if your Word level's low, then you're going to be weak in faith. So you have to stay in faith while you're waiting on your manifestation. You know God's going to come through for you, don't you? You know you're going to get the victory sooner or later. You know that the devil is already defeated, but you've got to enforce the victory in your own life. And so he's going about, he's seeking whom he may devour, he's doing his thing, but you know what? We stand on the Word of God, the Word that cannot fail. Amen. The Word that God has given to us to live by and to live our life as a Christian. We identify with the Word. We identify with the message of faith, because it's the message of faith that got us saved. Amen. It's the message of faith that's going to become strong in our life that we can overcome whatever the test and trial may come. So in verse 2, he's telling us that whenever the devil tries to squeeze us, we just need to become more slippery than the devil. Just think of yourself as a bar of soap, and that devil tries to squeeze you, you just pop right out of his hand. The devil is not going to squeeze you beyond the point that God will not make a way of escape. Write that scripture down. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I don't have time to look at all these scriptures, but that's where we find out that through every test, through every trial, look for the way out. Amen? So verse 2 is telling us to look at the Word. Look unto Jesus, because if we're not looking unto Jesus, then we're going to get focused in on the problem. And the problem is going to become larger to us than the Word that's on the inside of us. Amen? Okay, so he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Despised, now listen to this. Despise here is a word that means he didn't pay attention to it. You ever had somebody try to pick a fight with you and you didn't pay any attention to them? Sometimes we really have to, we get so spiritual sometimes, we forget to set back and relax in the Lord and let Him fight the battle. In fact, sometimes when you're at the height of your trial, you're at the height of your test, you just need to laugh. When it looks like there ain't no way, when it looks like, man, the bottom has fell out of this thing. You know, I hadn't told this story in a while, but and some of you knew, maybe not, hadn't heard it, but I remember when we first started the church, we weren't in the church about 6 months. And we had a back in 1984, you know, the technology of satellite had just came out. And they were doing a worldwide revival by satellite. Some of you remember that with Norval Hayes. It went for several days. And we just began the church. And I mean, people were coming off the street. And, you know, what is this and everything. And we went up there to Word of Faith in Dallas back then. And I remember we didn't have, you know, there wasn't too many people in church. We didn't have hardly anything at all. And Weed and I went up there, and they talked about sowing seeds, talked about seed faith. And I remember distinctly because it's the first time that I ever gave $1,000 in an offering. And, you know, it was basically all I had. But the Lord spoke to us and said, give that $1,000. And we came back about a week later. We had a tremendous storm, and it flooded the whole downtown area of Mercedes, and the roof vents were plugged up. We didn't know because there was a retaining wall up there, a flat roof. And the whole church building caved in. It just imploded. And everything, they called me and said, do y'all have a baby grand piano? It's floating down Texas Boulevard. Everything is washed out of that building. And you know, I looked at it, and I thought about the seed we sown. We didn't have anything. And I said, you know, we just need to start laughing. What do you mean laugh? Well, we just need to. What else are you going to do? You can cry or you can laugh. I'm just telling you, sometimes you just have to get to a place where you just relax in God and go ahead and laugh. When it looks like it's worse, just let out a big old ha, 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 ha. I mean, you think about it. Just let out a big old ha, 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 ha. I mean, well, sometimes, you know, the enemy thinks he's got us in such a box and he's got us in such a fix. And all he's trying to do is get us out of faith.
Amen.
But we laughed at the devil, came back, regrouped, only had a core group of probably about 10 people. But you know what? That happened like on a Wednesday night after Monday. It happened on the Monday after a Sunday. And we had a new building, the whole church moved by the Wednesday night service. So what the devil meant for bad, he turned it around. God turned it around for good. And I'm just telling you, sometimes you don't feel like laughing because you think, my, I'm fed up with this. But you just gotta give it some ha-ha. Maybe you ought to just go some, how many can do the ha-ha? Come on, let me hear you one time. Go, ha, 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 ha. You need to practice the ha, ha, ha. Praise the Lord. Next time you get some bad news, just are you with me? All right. So consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Now, we know Jesus never did anything wrong. That's why he tells us to look unto Jesus. Because if we're looking to Jesus, then we're looking at the Word of God. What does the Word say? What does the Word say about this? What does the Word say about that? But then he tells us to look unto Jesus and then to consider Jesus. Well, Jesus is our example. He lived a life of faith. He lived a life of opposition. But yet, the Bible tells us very pointedly that he was a man just like we were, but yet, and tempted in every point, but yet without sin. So, we don't look to other people, we look to Jesus. We consider Jesus what he did, and the fact that he went to the cross. And I was even looking at that this week because we're coming up with this, you know, the time of the year where we traditionally celebrate Easter. And I told you, you know, be careful with that word because really that word is a pagan word. I may take some time next Wednesday and talk about the Passover because, you know, I'm studying the word and all of a sudden it dawns on me that We're never really told in the Bible to celebrate the resurrection. But we are told to celebrate the crucifixion or what is the Passover. And it's just, you know, if we
if we're not word-centered and word-orientated, we'll just get off into traditions and just start doing things because other people do them. You know, I mean, before we knew better, I mean, you know, we enjoyed hunting Easter eggs and you know, eating chocolate Easter bunnies and all that kind of stuff. But really, it stems from pagan worship. It's like when you stop and think about it, it's like Easter Sunday. Well, first of all, you know, the resurrection didn't occur on Sunday. Occurred on Saturday afternoon, but yet we celebrate Sunday morning. And then have you ever thought about this? Why is Easter Sunday, supposedly the resurrection of the Lord, on a different day or a different day every year? I mean, how many times did Jesus get resurrected? Y'all ever think about those things? See, when you start studying the Word, you start thinking, we need to investigate this stuff. We're not trying to start new doctrines, things, but we go back and we see where we get off track because we follow some tradition, like Good Friday. Well, there's no logical way that Good Friday could be the day that Jesus was crucified because he couldn't have stayed in the grave 3 days and three nights. Is Jesus a liar? He said, just like it was in the days of Noah, he said, the Son of Man will stay 3 days and three nights in the earth. You can't do the math and come up with Sunday. Are you with me? So maybe we ought to teach a few things on that and just show you some scriptural things. You'd really baffle your relatives. They think you're weird now. But, you know, it's our... We know this. We know that Jesus died for the ungodly. We know he went to the cross. Amen. That's why we consider Jesus. And we know he paid the price for the redemption of mankind. And we do know that God raised him from the dead. But really, the focus should be on the fact of what Jesus did at the cross. Because what he did at the cross is why you and I have salvation. Amen. And so we just need to kind of keep those things in mind. He said, consider him. And let me kind of just touch, because I'm not getting very far in this tonight, I can already tell. It says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. In other words, you have a lot of things go on. All of us have things, and we've been talking, seem like tonight, about pressures of life and things, but none of us have ever been tacked to a cross, beat and stripped of all of our skin off of our body and hung up on a tree to die for the sins of mankind. Are you with me? And we've suffered a lot of things. Sometimes, you know, our water heater goes out and we don't want to take a cold shower, but you know, Jesus suffered the ultimate thing. Amen. And so we have to realize that he did it for the joy that was set before him. I don't think there was anything joyful about hanging on the cross and enduring the pain and the affliction, but he did it for you. He did it for me. Thank God. He didn't cower out. He didn't back out. He didn't change his mind. He went all the way even to the point of death. Amen. For you, for me. Thank God he died for the ungodly. I qualified. How about you? I was a sinner. Amen. How about you? Or were you born a saint? Praise God. So he died for all of us, okay? But now, here's what I want you to see. Let me just kind of introduce this, and we'll pick back up. I got to find another closing here. I've done about two. He said, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. Now, underline the word exhortation, because now we're going to find out, how does God discipline us? How does God chasten us? You read that scripture out of some funny, what kind of Bible do you have? Oh, no wonder. Listen to this. Exhortation means with verbal speech. A lot of people have a misunderstanding of how God disciplines us. Now, let me read it all to you. It says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons." Are you a son of God in here? Are you a child of God? Okay. Because he said, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." Look at it again. "Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. And if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" And he's making a point here that if a father loves their child, he will discipline his children. If a father doesn't love his children, he won't make them mine. The Bible says that God chastens, or he brings discipline to his son because he loves us. Now the question is how does God discipline his children? Does he get us in a car wreck? Does he kill one of our loved ones? Does he put some kind of cancer on us? No. We know the dividing line. We know the thief comes to do those three things. John 10:10. Steal, kill, and destroy. How does God discipline his children? We just read it in verse 5. Through verbal speech or through his word. The way God corrects you and I, and this is why it's important where you go to church. Because where you go to church is where you're going to get your correction. Amen. Are you with me? And that's why he says, don't you despise the chastening. Now, we all love exhortation. I'd rather exhort than to chasten, because I don't get so many ha-has in the chastening part. But you know what? He says that he chastens those that are legitimate. Amen. What does illegitimate mean? It means you're not the real son. Are you with me? He chastens his real sons. He disciplines us through his word. Now, we'll get into this and we'll look at this, because if God brings you into a place, there are things that are going to hinder our walk with God. There are things that will take us out of faith. And so we have to become disciplined or chastened by the word. But he says, if we endure the chastening. See, a lot of people come and sit in church, but they won't endure the chastening. They'll say, well, I ain't going to sit there and listen to that. And they don't endure the chastening. But the Bible says if we endure, what did your funny translation say? The King James says, we'll yield a peaceable fruit of righteousness. He is. And the Bible says that we respect our fathers. Now, I know when I grew up, I respected my father. Amen. I don't know. Nowadays, I don't know. Children are different. Right. If I'd have raised my voice or something, my father, he would have raised his hand. If I made my mother chase me through the house, she made sure that I paid for it. I only did that one time. And she broke a broom handle over my... But you know what? I turned out all right. I'm trying to get a point across to you now. Nowadays, children are not disciplined. And so they run rampant. They run wild. Well, he says, we respected our fathers. I mean, if I got in trouble in school, when I got home, I was in double trouble. It didn't matter. Nowadays, they want to sue the school, sue the teacher, right? Am I right? I mean, you know, it's just how things have changed. But the Lord doesn't change, okay? He's the Father of spirit. That's what it says if you read on down in verse 9. He says, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. If I didn't show my father or my mother respect, I paid for it, okay? There's a change of times. And it says, shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? See, how does God correct us? He corrects us through His Word. He is a spirit. God is a spirit, right? And the Bible says that we are a spirit. He's the Father of our spirit. What sins against God? Our spirit or our flesh? Sure, our flesh, the Bible says, it's weak. It says, give no place to the flesh. Because the flesh, in other words, if you let the flesh run by itself, it will fail. We saw it in the news this week, right? I mean, you have to allow the Word to bring correction to the spirit, because the spirit, Paul said it this way. He said, I keep my body under subjection. Did you hear what I just said? This is my third closing. Fourth. I keep my body. Did you know it? I keep my body. I and my. I, he's talking about the spirit, man, keeps my body under subjection. Because if I let my body do what it wants to do, it'll rebel. It'll fail. It'll run opposite from God. So what does the Word do? The Word comes to make our spirit man strong. When our spirit man is strong, then our minds are renewed. See how all this ties together, what I'm teaching on Sundays and on Wednesdays? I can stop and detail a little more in this Wednesday. The renewed mind, see. Because that's what's going to tell the body what to do. You start letting your flesh tell you what to do, man. You're in big trouble. Amen? All right, close your books and close your Bibles, and let's all stand. So are you getting my point? You understand what I'm trying to get across to you? We'll pick this up, but the main thing is that we understand that the Word of God is important to us. Not only does it bring faith to our life, but it brings correction. It brings discipline. Because there is the God part and there is the man part.